The reading for today is taken from the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your father has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This morning, we're actually starting a new series in our preaching. The theme of this series over the next few weeks will be Lordship. And we're starting off by looking at a couple of Old Testament passages where we look at Yahweh, which is how the people of the Old Testament days addressed God. I looked in the Bible dictionary how Yahweh was translated, and it just said Lord. So that's fair enough, but there was a mystery about the word Yahweh to the people when they used it. And there's a mystery about what we're talking about in the next few weeks. And I pray that God will reveal some mysteries to us. This incident with Moses is actually quite huge. There's so much in it about God and who he is. You know, we know that story, don't we? We really know it over and over again because we've learned it as children. But when you start analysing it and thinking about what's said there, there really is an awful lot, and I did have to limit it, obviously. Now, Moses himself, as we know, had an interesting past to get him to this point in his life. He was born at a time when the Egyptians were actually very worried about the number of Israelites, and they were trying to stop it. So they tried to have all the baby boys killed that were born. And, of course, Moses' mother didn't want that to happen to him, and she hid him for a few months. And then she knew she couldn't hide him anymore, so she made a sort of nest thing of bulrushes and put him in the water. And he was found by Pharaoh's daughter. And interesting that because his sister was around, his mother was able to look after him. So there was a lot of his mother's influence went to him in those early years. He grew up in the palace. And then there's that incident of him killing an Egyptian. Do you remember that one? He noticed an Egyptian being very brutal to an Israelite, and he stopped him and killed him. Then the next day, he saw two Israelites fighting each other, and he was very cross with them. He said, "Why are you fighting each other?" And one of them said to him, "Are you going to kill us like you killed that Egyptian?" And when he realized he'd been seen, he got a bit scared, and he ran away to Midian. And there he tended flocks, and he did it to win his wife, Zipporah. And then, 40 years later, that's important, isn't it? 40 years after this, so I don't know quite how old he was, this call came. I wonder why it had taken so long for God to call Moses. Well, I think, don't you, that Moses' life did have a plan, right from the very beginning of it, didn't it? It's very obvious there was God's plan in there. And if he was to fulfill his destiny of rescuing the people from the Egyptians, then Moses had to be prepared. He was going to lead and care for a people who belonged to God. So he learned his trade, if you like, by tending sheep that belonged to somebody else. He learned care. He learned to be patient. He learned to be very faithful in a humdrum way of life. And the tending of the sheep, you would notice from that reading, happened to bring him to the right place that day. He was looking for somewhere for them to graze, and he was in the right place at the right time. God, Yahweh, suddenly takes center stage in Moses' life. He's leading the sheep on the mountain of Horeb, which verse 1 tells us is the mountain of God. Moses sees a bush on fire. I wonder what his first thoughts were when he saw that. Perhaps I better go and try and put that out before it does any damage. But as he got nearer, he thought, there's something strange here. There's fire, but the bush isn't burning. He got a bit nearer. We're told that the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the bush. Have you thought about those words? The angel of the Lord. Who was that? I did a bit of research about this. Who is he? Because you see, the angel that appeared to Mary, that we've been talking about a lot recently, had a name. Gabriel. When we hear the angel of the Lord mentioned, there's something more. There is definitely something more. I read some words somewhere this week, and I thought that was quite interesting. It said, this angel is not a created angel. He is Jehovah himself in manifestation, identical with Jehovah, though also different. Angels in general can represent one aspect or another of the divine nature, but in the angel of the Lord, he is fully present. So who is this angel that's appearing? God himself somehow appeared to Moses, an ordinary, sinful man. No wonder there was fire and smoke if God was there, our awesome God. And a fire, of course, in the Bible is associated with the holiness of God. Later in Exodus, we hear God saying to Moses, you cannot look in my face and live. Holiness. What is it? God is holy. He is separate. Do we even grasp that? His purity, his goodness. And yet, he stoops down and opens his arms to embrace us. He comes to live within us by his Holy Spirit. What a mystery that is, isn't it? How that happens. And it's all because of Jesus, isn't it? All because Jesus was willing to come and give his life for us on that cross and make a way open when he rose again, defeating all the evil. He opened the way for us to be able to come close to approach that holy God. So the Holy Spirit makes us holy within, but then he works with us for a lifetime, helping us to become more holy, more and more like Jesus. In 1 Peter, we read the words, "Be holy, because I am holy." What a mystery. If we were to look at the angel of the Lord today, I wonder what we would do. I sense that because of his holiness, his goodness, his purity, we just fall flat. How can we face a holy God? Moses hears a voice from the bush. Oops, what am I knocking over? Let's have a look at Exodus chapter 3 that we've just read for a moment. If you don't remember this story really well, do read it. It's just these first couple of chapters in Exodus, starting at chapter 2. But Moses hears a voice from the bush. And when the Lord saw him, and he'd gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And then God goes on and tells Moses that he has seen and understands the plight of the people of Israel, and he was going to do something about it. And that must have heartened Moses, mustn't it, that God was going to do something about this awful mess. But then came the hard bit. "So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." "What? Who am I? How can I do that?" Then God says what he always says when he asks us to do something. And we hear this so often in this church. "I will be with you." He says that over and over again, doesn't it? Every time, "I will be with you." But Moses wanted a bit more. Let's look at a few more verses. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: 'I am has sent me to you.' I am." Those words are very important. I am. God just is. He's not created. He's not made. He just is. Here is the great I am. That's who God is. Another meaning of the word Yahweh is he is. That's beyond us, isn't it? I wouldn't like to stand here and tell you I understand all that, because I don't. It's a mystery, isn't it? And if we're not seeing the mystery, we're not seeing just who God is, because he has so much more to always reveal to us and tell us about himself. But I do know that despite being this awesome, powerful, amazing God, he's still our Heavenly Father. And that's quite amazing, isn't it? It's so easy to limit God to what we want him to be. But he's so much more than that. It's always important to come to him with open hearts, with open minds. I just finished going through this yesterday morning. When I'm preaching, I always, having prepared my sermon, the last thing I do is go through it on a Saturday. I came downstairs and I picked this up. And I just was so stunned. I thought, I've got to read this, because I feel those last words about not limiting God are actually a message for somebody here this morning, or maybe for all of us. Who knows? But the heading of this was, "How big is your God?" I'm just going to read you a little bit of it. Most of us worship a very little God indeed, limiting him by our own small faith and huge ignorance of what the Bible tells us about him. What a difference it would make to the way we think and act if every day we asked the Holy Spirit to increase our vision of God as we take time to gaze on him. That's a lovely message, isn't it? God is so much more than we can imagine, and it's so easy to limit him to what we want him to be. But he's so much more. I'm going to stop talking for a moment and ask you to think. That's unusual, isn't it, on a Sunday morning at 9 o'clock? Don't worry, it's nothing serious. If you had to describe God at this moment, say something about God that really speaks to you, just one word that would speak to you about God this morning, what would it be? Just have a think. I'm going to be really daring and ask you to shout them out in a moment. I'll tell you what I would have said. I would just have said awesome, because that's just how I've been feeling all the way through the preparation of this. What an awesome God we serve. It's a song, isn't it? Anybody else have dare to shout their word out? Carry on. Thank you. There's so much, isn't there? This is our God. How could we possibly limit him? The power as we speak out his name in so many ways. This is his name. Who he is his name. I am. And he is all these things. Let's just think about Moses again for a minute. I consider our church to be holy ground. Do you? Yeah, I think, always feel I'm coming into holy ground when I come in here. I come to be among everybody and to meet together with that incredible God. We don't remove our shoes, which is perhaps a blessing to everybody, but are we really aware of his amazing presence here with us this morning? We could perhaps feel it strongly. We could just feel a tiny touch. We could just be aware we're in the place where God is. But are we aware that we're with him here now? We're not going to limit him, are we? He is, and he can do so much more than we can even ask or imagine. I want to finish with a final word about Moses. That experience will have changed him forever. It was like a conversion for him. Maybe he was a reluctant convert when he met God like that, but he did meet him. It had an impact, and a journey began. It wasn't just a thought of Yahweh in the distance. It was God, Yahweh, that amazing God with him all the time. Say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. The Lord, the God of your fathers has sent me. You know, in the weeks to come, we'll be looking at all sorts of ways that God is Lord, Jesus is Lord. And as we do, let's keep our hearts and minds open and allow God to be Lord of our lives as he teaches us again and again what that means about giving him our all and bowing before him as the Lord. Let's pray together. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing love, your power, your holiness, your goodness. Thank you that you are the great I am and that you're here with us now. And I pray, Lord, that as we go on from here, we will open our minds to get more of a vision of you. We won't limit you. We'll just, with excitement, wait and see what you can become for each one of us and for our church here. In Jesus' name, amen.